Okay, I'm gonna go. When you come to that rock, can you just pull it up? Okay. Well, I might have time to get it on my... Oh, yeah, I'll get it on my iPad when the guy speaks. Thank you, councillors. It's now 6:30 and I advise the public that in accordance with the council's code of meeting practice, council meetings are recorded and the audio is later webcast via council's website. The entire chamber is included in the audience recordings and the visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured, recorded and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by individuals during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and not opinions or statements of council. All persons should refrain from making defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remark made during the course of the council meeting. Furthermore, all persons shall refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of that individual beforehand. We all stand for the council prayer. Councillor Burke.
Gracious God, we pray for the council of the City of Cessnock, its members and officers, direct their work and influence their decisions to the advancement of your glory and the safety and welfare of this city, so that peace and happiness, truth and justice and sound development may be established among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Council acknowledges the Wanneroo people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Dargunjung people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Cessnock local government area. Leave of absence has been granted to Councillor Olson, and I have an apology from Councillor Saval. Someone moving that way. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Gray. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Sander. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Disclosures of interest. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a disclosure of interest in report number GMU 23/2019. The report is the minutes of the Town Coordinator Review Committee. I have a pecuniary interest for that I am currently contracted by the Cessnock Chamber of Commerce and I will leave the Chamber.
Thank you. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. I would like to declare an interest in report number PE76/2019. The title is Exhibition of the Draft Cessnock Local Strategic Planning Statement. It's non-pecuniary interest, less than significant, for the reason that I am part owner of land mentioned in the Cessnock Local Strategic Plan. I choose to remain in the Chamber and participate in discussion and voting as the conflict has not influenced me in carrying out my public duty because it's only a draft.
Councillor Lyons.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I'd like to declare an interest in PE76/2019, Exhibition of the Draft Cessnock Local Strategic Plan Statement 2036. I'd like to declare a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict for the reason that a client of mine appears to be in the investigation area. I choose to remain in the Chamber and participate in discussions and voting as the conflict has not influenced me in carrying out my public duty because it is in draft phase.
Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I have a pecuniary interest in PE75/2019 for the reason that an objector to the DA is a donor to my electoral campaign.
Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I want to disclose a pecuniary interest in PE75/2019. Because one of the objectors to this particular DA was a donor to my electoral campaign, and I will leave the Chamber and take no part.
Councillor Fagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I declare a pecuniary interest in report number PE75/2019 on the basis that an objector of the DA is a donor to my electoral campaign, and I will leave the Chamber.
Councillor Doherty, are you going again? I'll declare a non-pecuniary insignificant declaration to PE 76, the local strategic planning statement. Our residence is in Elrington, one of the investigation zones. I'll remain in the chamber as it will not affect my decision making. Not aware of any petitions, public address. So we're going to deal with PE 75, councillors. I call Aaron Lewis to talk against the recommendation. You have 3 minutes, Aaron.
Thank you. Mayor Pinkston, councillors, staff. I'd like to thank Cessnock Council for giving the opportunity to present the concerns of residents of Farmers Lane regarding the proposed development at 409 Farmers Lane. My name is Aaron Lewis and I live on Gillard's Road, backing onto the proposed site and nearest resident to the site. The development application has been altered significantly since it was first lodged and has risen from 31 cabins to 60. There is no explanation of how a development can so drastically alter from conception, and the concerns raised by residents in the first instance are now literally doubled, but now claim to be only 18 buildings. This was followed by an amendment by the applicant on February 25th, 2019, that the number of units proposed was, quote, unsatisfactory, reduce and cluster into 18 buildings. So 31 one-bedroom units became 60 one-bedroom units, but because they are clustered, they have been magically reduced to 18 units. I ask if any councillor can explain to me how that works. Calling 60 units 18 units seemed odd. My understanding is that council staff are now recommending that this development proceed, which we find disappointing, considering the development scale was doubled. The report states that the developer concedes that the road must be upgraded along with McDonald's Road intersection. During which phase must this be done, and does this definitely mean that the road will be fully served? If the developer decides to only complete phase one, are they exempt from serving the road? I referred to guideline 4.5.9 in my revised letter of objection and ask now how such a large scale development at the end of an unserved road is compliant with the council's stated objective of developments being in keeping with the existing character of the Vineyard Tourism District. 61 bedroom relocatable cabins clumped together in clusters is nothing like the original proposal and nothing like any other development I have seen since 1970 when I first started living at the Cove. Is this the start of a new type of float across high density accommodation? Does this density actually comply with the LEP? Will other developers now be allowed to create caravan park style accommodation? The traffic study submitted is unrealistic. The state will be no significant increase in traffic due to building 60 cabins is not credible. It ignores the increase that has already occurred due to the usage of the 100-seat wedding venue and assumes that 60 cars will remain stationary for the entire stay. The valley's people will be tourists and they will travel backwards and forwards. Farmers Lane is currently narrow and unsealed. And again, we ask, what is the exact time frame for the sealing of this road? I can't see it in the proposal. The objections to increased noise, light, etc. are worked on in this revised application. The full detail is a bit difficult to work out. My final point, if I can add one more minute, please, Mayor. Is that okay?
No. So move in extension, Councillor. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Burke. Put that, all those in favour. You have the extension now.
Thank you, appreciate it. Part E of the report says the proposal of tourist accommodation padding for a limited number of guests. It's now 120. It states that development has been clustered to reduce the scale of the development, but in fact, it's been enlarged from 31 to 60. And councillors, please be aware of this. The report further states that 65 accommodation units and 65 hectares covers two titles, etc. I'm concerned that it doesn't really cover
the correct number of beds for the right number of hectares. Is it 18? Is it 60? This is not clear. However, in the car parking 3.3.12, it says, I quote, the application proposes 60 one-bedroom units. Therefore, a total of 60 car parking spaces are required to be provided on this site. And yet, it is saying there are 18 units. This is very confusing for the residents, and I would like some of those questions answered if possible. Thank you.
Questions, councillors? Let's thank Mr. Lewis for his presentation.
Thank you.
And for the recommendation, Michael Watt.
The group is focused on long-term value creation, with major assets being the resort-style Sanctuary Co, the Intercontinental Hotel, Norwest Business Park, and luxury resort of Hayman Island. The hospitality portfolio includes hotels in Cairns, Auckland, and as well as Sydney. The hotel school, being a partnership with Southern Cross University, provides university-level hospitality training in Sydney and Melbourne, and the Big Badger Estate here in the Hunter, along with 409 and 431 Harders Lane, are both owned by Malta and its subsidiary company, Big Badger Estate. In 2018, Council approved the wedding reception facility in the former Celador on this site, and the current proposal seeks to add accommodation to the site as an integrated tourist and reception centre. Prior to the lodgement of the application, we advised all adjoining neighbours of our intentions and offered to discuss our proposal and invite comments by letterbox drop and mail. At that time, the major concern we received was in relation to the condition of Harmony Lane. Following Council's exhibition, the issues which emerged with the amended application were traffic, noise, design, density, water and wastewater flux movements, the character of the locality, water management, light impacts and loss of habitat. We've taken these into account with our revised DA for the site, which forms the basis of tonight's council report. I ask for a minute.
Sorry. You're right, keep going.
Thank you. In this regard, we believe the report and the proposed conditions provide a reasonable and well-balanced assessment of the DA, which has been shown to be compliant with Council's strategic direction of telephone and discipline controls, and having regard to the issues raised in the submissions. In response to the submissions that we received, we made the following amendments to our proposal. We've canvassed and note the conditions in the report requiring the sealing of Palmer's Lane and adjustments to the intersection of McDonald's Road as part and parcel of the development consent. We've provided landscape planting to provide screen to the adjoining properties in terms of the visual impact issue. We've repositioned and clustered the buildings on the site to maintain views and character.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, move Councillor Fitzgibbon, second Councillor Dagg. I'll put those in favour. Unanimous. 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The reason for repositioning and clustering buildings that comply is basically to comply with Council's planning controls in terms of the number. The density is compliant, 61 is allowed on site and daily food, and 18 dwellings is allowed under the leasehold. So we comply with those planning controls. Fourthly, we're proposing low bollard lighting throughout the whole development to ensure that there's minimal glare. And in addition to that, in specific response to submissions raised by the previous speaker, we've altered the traffic circulation within the proposal so that any approaching cars at night time with lights on will be down. precinct. In terms of the social, economic and environmental impact, the proposal complements the wedding reception centre, provides an additional employment, investment and expenditure to the local economy, and will not result in any adverse impact on the environment.
Thank you. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Thank you for your presentation this evening. I just wanted to clarify, Mr. Lewis raised the issue of Palmer's Lane, which is obviously something that we would want to be seen dealt with as soon as possible. Just from reading the report, could you confirm that the prior to issuing an occupation certificate following stage one, the roadworks at Palmer's Lane and also its intersection with McDonald's Lane, they will be fully completed prior to that happening?
That's correct. Within the condition of consent before you to phase one, mm-hmm. condition 43, I refer you to, provides that all the roadworks, including the intersection, need to be done prior to occupation certificate being issued. And we're comfortable with that.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Thank you, Michael. One of the concerns raised by Mr. Lewis was the clustering of the cabins, and he's concerned that they're going to get a caravan park. I have had a look at the plans, and I know that that's not the intention. But could you describe to us how the 18 dwellings are clustered to give us the 61 one-bedroom units, please?
Just by way of history, our original proposal, we were looking at 61 individual standard dwelling described or dwelling units across the site. And when the issue of visual impact was raised, and when we look more closely at the council DCP, we only needed 18 buildings. So the clustering has taken place in the amended proposal to comply with that control, and we believe it actually deals with the issue of the visual impact much better than having a scatter of buildings across the site.
Yep. Councillor Staple, please.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I just have a couple little questions. We've got a wedding site out there already that's licensed to have 100 people, and we're going to put accommodation into as part of the integrated development to have 120. So the other 20 people, do they stay at home or they don't go to the wedding? Or we've got 100...
The way we envisage the facility will work, that's the accommodation component and the wedding reception component will actually work together. People who come to the wedding reception have the opportunity of staying on our site. If there's not capacity there, they can stay elsewhere in the wedding.
And the other question I have is the water. We've got a 125,000 litre tank with, if it's full for 4 days a week, you've got 2.5 weeks water supply. So in times like now where there's an emergency, how do you intend to supply the water? By trucks?
There's a report that accompanied the DA that looked at the water management strategy. The focus of the strategy is on capturing rainwater off the cabins, sending it down to a 200,000 kiloliter tank, which is then will serve the water on street to the cabins. Now, that water will be topped up by cart in dry times, and beyond that, there are two wells on the site. I'm not saying they're going to be used for drinking water, but in terms of if there were a fire hazard or whatever. There's two dams on site that have substantial water supply and a lot of use by water fire services in those areas.
Okay, Kath.
Sorry. I was trying to ask another question about.
Sorry, Mayor Pinson. The two dams on site, do you have a water allocation off the private irrigation scheme out there for those two dams?
We do, I believe, yes.
So, they'll be kept at a certain level for firefighting because you use the water now for vineyard production?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm advised that.
Yep. So you're going back. Councillor Fitzgibbon again.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. Sorry, Michael. I just need you to make it very clear on how you have 18 dwellings, how they're going to look to deliver the 61 one-bedroom units.
Can I describe it as being 18 buildings.
Yes.
61 dwellings. Now, they cluster them. It means that those 61 dwellings are either clustered in pairs, triples or fours, comprising one building. So if I can ask you to refer to your architectural plans that you have a look at, it's quite clear what the mix of clustering is. Indeed, we provide two individual dwellings out of the 61, separate from everywhere else, because basically the way you sort of split functions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's thank Mr. Watt for his presentation. We're now dealing with PE 75. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Dagg. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've just got a question to the Director of Planning and Environment. The first speaker, Aaron, had some concerns around the parking, so with the reduction. And can you confirm that there is ample parking within this development that complies?
Director?
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Burke, there is ample parking provided, and in addition to that, you will notice on page 94, condition 34, also talks about the on-site parking and for the first phase in particular, and that is how we also control the level of parking. So they've provided the number of parks, and that it's also conditioned.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, and I'd just like to confirm that with the Director of Planning and Environment, that if this only goes to stage one, the roadworks still have to be completed, as does the intersection treatment.
The Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Fitzgibbon, that is correct. In addition to Condition 43, which requires those works to be formalised prior to OC, you'll also see the approvals for those works are required at stage one prior to a construction certificate. So if the applicant decides not to proceed with phase two, the roadworks are already done.
Thank you.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I've got a couple little problems. The main one, we're talking about lighting, and they're going to have the low bollard lighting. But the large, biggest problem I see now is LED lights on cars. It makes a huge difference. I live in a little quiet place on the main road. If someone drives past on high beam with their high beam normal lights on, you have no effect on your house. If someone comes down the road with the new LED lights on high beam or the spotlights on, it lights up half inside of my house. And I think we need to have a good look at how we mitigate that sort of lighting. The bollard lights, that you can design them to suit, but if someone drives down, they don't know exactly where they're going, they flick their lights up into high beam, and especially the LED lights, it's incredible how much difference it changes things.
Okay, thank you. No further debate. I'm going to put the motion. Those in favour? Councillors, it's unanimous. The councillors here. We might call the other councillors in. Consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exceptions. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. Having read through the various reports, I'd like to Englobo the items below. PE 74, 2019. PE 76, 2019. CC 106, 2019. CC 107, 2019. CC 108, 2019, CC 109, 2019, CC 110, 2019, CC 111, 2019, CC 112, 2019, CC 13, CC 113, 2019, CC 114, 2019, CC 115, 2019, CC 116, 2019, WI 81 2019, WI 82 2019, WI 83 2019, WI 84 2019, CO 28 2019, and CO 29 2019.
Yeah, Councillor Doherty, before you move that way, was NI 12 2019 notice of intention to deal with matters in the confidential session included on your list?
Sorry, the first one.
Yes.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't englobo that, do I?
You do.
I can. Okay, englobo. NI 112 2019 also.
Thank you. And so you're moving those recommendations?
Move that way. Yep.
Yeah. Second to Councillor Gray, I'm going to put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Some mayoral minutes. So move to mayoral minute 16 2019. Both the Mayor and the General Manager have been invited by Newcastle City Council to attend the Newcastle 500 event on Saturday, and I'm asking that Council endorses both the Mayor and the General Manager accepting that invitation to attend. Now I've moved it as the Mayor. Thank you. There's no debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous, thank you. move to Mayoral Minute 17, 2019. I think it's very important that Council acknowledges the magnificent effort of the emergency services and the fires last week at both North Rothbury and Greta, and we as a Council thank those people concerned for keeping our community safe with very minimal property damage. And I think some of the stories that I've heard visiting both Greta and North Rothbury on early the next morning are quite amazing. How people in our community work together to help their neighbour or help their mate. The story of a house in North Rothbury, where the owner was not home, the lawn was on fire. Someone saw a garden hose attached to the front of that house, and that action by those two people probably saved that house right on the main road. And I know the lady, the owner, was so appreciative and went out of her way to thank those individuals just from the community, as well as the feedback I got from overwhelmingly from both the North Rothbury and Greta areas which were affected, of the magnificent job of all those people. And you've probably seen the vision. It was quite intense. The fire front on that main road is probably 15 metres from those houses, because the frontages are quite narrow, and they were definitely under threat. The magnificent work save that property damage, and I pull out a massive thank you on behalf of all the other people, not just in Greta and in North Rothbury, but in the whole community. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson, and I commend you for your mayoral minute. My niece actually was one of those houses that were right close to that fire, and obviously they can't thank the fireys enough for the efforts that was put in at it. That was basically spotting from the backyard to the front yard. It was absolutely crazy times, and it's really... This fire season has been something absolutely extraordinary. Over a million hectares now on the eastern seaboard. It's absolutely crazy, and the next 2 days is expected to be just as potentially dangerous. So the weather is going crazy, and it's not helping us. And the guys out there, they're all volunteers, and they're giving up their work and their times, and they're exhausted, and we can't commend them enough. Thank you.
Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I too just quickly would like to offer my sincere thank you to the Fireys, the volunteers and the people in the community out there. As somebody who lives out there, it was quite hairy. My kids were, well, their school closed for 3 days. So it was really quite an anxious time, particularly on that Tuesday afternoon, seeing the plane and the helicopters not that far from our house. It was pretty terrifying. We ended up packing up our car and heading off to Mum and Dad's just to be on the safe side. So I can't even imagine how, you know, the people who were more directly affected, how they must have been feeling, knowing that they could lose everything. It's really heartbreaking, but a good story, because thankfully that didn't occur, thanks to the hard work and bravery of the people that stepped in.
Thank you. I'll put the Mayor on minute. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Motions of urgency? No. Rescission motions? So we need someone first to rescind the previous motion. So move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Burke. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Staple. He's up. It's unanimous. Sorry. So we now move to the substantive motion that replaces that motion. Someone moving that way? Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Sander. No debate. Put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Where are we going now? To? Yeah, GMU 23, Councillor Burke. So move the recommendation, Councillor Gray, second Councillor Fitzgibbon. No debate, put the motion, those in favour. That's unanimous. Thank you. So the peak is 76 now. Sir? That's not? WA, okay. Okay, so we go to WA 85, Cessnock Pool Master Plan. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Sander. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. Look, I'd like to just add a couple of words on to point two, where it says, of Council's decision, could I add, and the reasons why. Now, I'd like to just quickly speak to that, because option B was the preferred option by the community groups, the pool staff and management, and user groups, and I think that they'll wonder why we chose option A instead of option B, and I think it should be clearly outlined to them the benefits of option A over the long-term benefits of option B. Thank you.
Yeah. I think, so the mover and seconder, do you accept the alteration that Councillor Fitzgibbon put in there?
I'm happy.
Yeah. Councillor Sander, fine. Okay, so we're on. No further debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 86, Milson's Arm Road. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move this with one slight amendment, and the amendment is that the two petitions be forwarded next year to the review committee to be used as submissions for the new review.
Is that the road review committee?
No, this is for the garbage, the waste services.
Okay, sorry.
So that petitions...
Just hang on, Councillor Sabre. Do we need to be more... Clearer on that wording. The two petitions before next year to the review committee for waste or something. Waste strategy. Yeah. Do you want to say that? So, General Manager.
Mr. Mayor. We need to put that the two submissions be forwarded to the review committee for the waste strategy.
Yep.
Yes, yes, thanks very much.
Right, I'd say the mover and second. No. It's all right. So we get a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Fitzgibbon. Right with that now?
Yes, thanks very much.
Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to point out, it says in the, on page 429, that the strategy is being prepared by a consultant, Talis Consultants, not a review committee. Or am I misreading that?
Yeah. So do we need to change the...
So from what I can... Yeah, it's not being done internally.
Okay. So Councillors Stapleford and Fitzgibbon, can we accept that the two submissions be considered? Go on, General Manager.
Yep, to be considered. In the development of the Waste Strategy 2020-25.
Yep.
Perfect.
That's more succinct. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So Councillor Dagg, you're right with that now?
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Doherty.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I don't have a great problem with this, but I'd like to alert councillors that this could actually open a whole can of worms. We have lots and lots of rural roads where people have to wheel their bins up to a kilometre or more down to a main road. I'll give you an example. Lyberts Lane out at Mount Vincent has quite a large number of homes in there, and they all take their waste bins down to the main road. If people get a whiff of Milson's Arm, people getting a special treatment, then you can guarantee that all these other rural roads where they've got garbage collections, that the garbage trucks won't go up there, they will challenge it.
Yep, thank you. Thank you. No further debate. Are we going to put that? All those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 87, 2019. Fixing Country Roads. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Gray. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson. I'll just add another dot point, if you don't mind, on the recommendation, and that is that Council sends a copy of this report to Clayton Barr MP for Cessnock.
Thank you. Councillor Sander.
Yeah, I would just like to ask the Director of Works and Infrastructure...
Just before you do that, Councillor Sander, can I ask Councillor Burke and Gray, do they accept that additional dot point?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Sander.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Table 2 on page 439, the Old Maitland Road project. Now, we're just looking at sealing that road as opposed to there was no realignments or anything... Director?
Through you, Mayor. No, the funding really stipulates that there's to be no upgrades of roads. It's just to be some rehabilitation, renewal of existing roads. They really are stringent on no shoulder widenings, no upgrades. So something like taking the bends, 21 bends out, is a significant upgrade, and the funds aren't for that. What we're proposing here is to seal Old Maitland Road, one, to remove it from our rural road maintenance schedule. We go back there six times a year, and some of you may have received some emails just in the last few days in relation to Old Maitland Road. We believe that the sealing of that road will give us some time to look at the longer-term strategy for Old Maitland Road, which is part of the traffic and transport study.
Thank you. Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Pinson. To the Director of Works and Infrastructure, when we had the matrix for these roads to come forward to us, was there any consideration for the roads that have been earmarked for possible links to the expressway as main arterial routes that we would, down the track, probably get funding for out of other areas?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor. The officers really looked at the criteria that was put in front of them, and they assessed all of the possibles and probable roads that we would consider as being suitable for the criteria that was set. And the table that we have in front of you is those that scored the highest against the criteria that is set. So we believe that they're the greatest chance of getting funding. In terms of getting money for the roads that you're talking about, the feeder roads, you're starting to get into that area of they really require an upgrade. They're not just renewing local roads, they're as we've done to Frame Drive and will do to Ginger's Lane. We're creating them as, in essence, regional roads, and that's an upgrade, unfortunately.
Okay. Councillor Dagg.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I just have a slight amendment to the new point three, if the mover and seconder accept it. It's pedantic, but at the end of the sentence, member for Cessnock, if we add in seeking his support.
Yeah. Go on. You're right with that?
Yep.
Councillor Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question to the Director of Works. With Old Maitland Road, with the sealing, where do you know how much of 21 bends will be sealed? Will it be from start to finish?
Yep, the Director.
Through you, Mayor. I'm trusting that the officers looked at that and it was to seal the entire stretch that's currently unsealed.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Through you, Mayor Pinson, just a point to the Director of Works and Infrastructure. I think, could you make sure that the community is well aware that this isn't an A-grade job? Because I'm sure with $3 million spread over that area, it's going to start breaking up fairly quickly, and then they'll go typical. So, thank you.
Okay, no further debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Councillor reports? There are none. I'll close that meeting. So I'd ask the councillor to move into confidential. Do we move into confidential? Move, Councillor Dagg. Second, Councillor Gray. Put that. All those in favour? That's unanimous. We're in public. An explanation of that decision.
Council resolved that Council notes the committee's endorsement for the actions as discussed, and that Council facilitates a joint community meeting with Subsistence Advisory New South Wales to seek community feedback on the preferred option. So that was report number WI80/2019.
Thank you, and at that point I'll close the meeting. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm used to having the nerves.
Twice now. 7:18, that's a good going. For that agenda, far out. If anybody...
Well done, Mr. Mayor. Yes. Fantastic. And the debate. It's good that this is like what's there to debate.